In the northern Central Valley County of Stanislaus, one of their local police officers was killed in the line of duty the day after Christmas. He was shot after pulling someone over for suspected drunk driving. And then the murder was followed by a manhunt to find the shooter, who traveled nearly the length of the San Joaquin Valley, and he was later arrested in Kern County. Alex Hall is a Central Valley reporter for member station KQED. She's been following this story and is here in the studio with us. Alex, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been reporting on that police officer. His name is Ronil Singh. He was with Newman City Police, like I said, up in Stanislaus County. Can you talk a little bit more about what led to the shooting?
Yeah, absolutely. So Corporal Singh was working late at night, just after Christmas Day. So 1 a.m. December 26th in Newman, which is a small town about 40 minutes south of Modesto. He was alerted that there was a driver in a pickup truck who appeared to be drunk driving. He initiated a traffic stop, and then there was some sort of altercation. The next contact he had with anyone was when he called out shots fired over his radio. Officers responded to find him wounded on the ground. They later took him to a hospital where he died.
You've also done some reporting on the man who was arrested for this murder. His name is Gustavo Perez Arriaga. What do we know about him?
Right. So what we know from authorities is that Arriaga is 32 years old. He's from Mexico. He's been living here in the United States for several years. He's known to have worked on farms here in the Central Valley, including dairy farms. The name Gustavo Perez Arriaga is just one of several aliases he has used, according to his attorney. Arriaga himself told the judge at a hearing last week that his real name is actually Paulo Virgen Mendoza. Before authorities released his name, Stanislaus Sheriff Adam Christensen announced that Arriaga was living in the country illegally. And at that time, photos of him started circulating on social media with tattoos that appeared gang-related. Once he was ultimately arrested at the conclusion of this 55-hour manhunt, Sheriff Christensen announced that Arriaga did have known gang affiliation and two previous DUIs.
So murder charges have been filed against Arriaga, but the judge has put the case on hold. Why did that happen?
Yeah, so Arriaga's defense attorney said that after having a brief conversation with his client right before his arraignment last week, he had doubts about whether Arriaga was competent to stand trial. So the judge in this case suspended the case until Arriaga can undergo a mental health evaluation by a doctor. Apparently, this is something that happens a lot. In this case, it's going to take about 5 weeks. So we're expecting on February 7th, Arriaga will be back in court with other defendants who have been charged with accessory in this case. At that point, the doctor's report will be presented to the judge. And in the meantime, Arriaga will remain at the Stanislaus County Jail without bail.
And then you also reported that Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department, they're blaming the sanctuary state law that's only in California for this death. What exactly are they arguing here?
So immediately after this incident, or a couple days later, once Arriaga was arrested, Sheriff Christensen made it very clear that it's his position that California's sanctuary policies are to blame for Corporal Singh's death. As we know, sanctuary laws are the laws that limit cooperation between local police and sheriff's deputies and federal agents whose job it is to enforce the United States immigration laws, namely Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Sheriff Christensen said that given that Arriaga has this criminal history, that activity should have been reported to ICE. But because of sanctuary laws, local cops were prohibited from communicating with the agency. So in his theory, Arriaga was shielded from deportation because of those policies.
So this sounds really familiar to something that Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau said back in mid-December. I remember at that time, deputies had arrested an immigrant who was in the country legally, but he was arrested for being under the influence of a controlled substance. His name is Gustavo Garcia. He was in custody, but then released. And before he was released, however, ICE had asked Tulare County Sheriffs to continue detaining him. But Boudreau said because of the sanctuary state law, he couldn't honor the detainer. So Garcia was released, and then soon after that, he went on to actually rob a gas station, commit a murder, and then led sheriff's deputies on a highway chase. He ultimately died from that car crash, from the chase. And so what I'm getting at is that Boudreau was making the case that if the sanctuary state law wasn't in place, then the Tulare County Sheriff's Department could have complied with ICE and continued to detain Garcia, and then Garcia wouldn't have committed those crimes. So he's drawing a really straight line between how the law, in his words, didn't commit further crimes. Is that same argument relevant here?
Well, the reason why this is different is that in the case of Arriaga, there isn't clear evidence that sanctuary policies actually made a difference. The law that Sheriff Christensen has cited when he talks about sanctuary law in California is SB 54, the Values Act, which went into effect January 2018, 1 year ago this month. Arriaga was cited for DUIs in 2011 and 2014, so his interaction with police or sheriff's deputies or whatever law enforcement he had, the interactions that we know of took place before that law was passed and enacted. A spokesman for ICE said that local police never contacted them about Arriaga in those two instances. He also said that some counties can refrain from notifying ICE in an attempt to shield them from deportation. But I spoke with Kevin Johnson, who's the dean of the UC Davis School of Law. He said that given the laws that were in place at the time of those prior incidents or arrests, there were opportunities for law enforcement to share information with federal agents, and ICE could have picked Arriaga up at the time. The fact that they didn't, he thinks, is likely because, in the grand scheme of things, Arriaga wasn't a priority for ICE. Madera County was also not a sanctuary jurisdiction at the time, so he doesn't think that, you know, whatever agency it was, Chowchilla Police, Madera Sheriff's Department, he doesn't think that they would have refrained from contacting ICE in those instances.
Mm, and so the sanctuary state law maybe isn't applicable here.
Mm-hmm.
Has the Trump administration weighed in on this crime or maybe either of these crimes that we've talked about?
Yeah, the president has weighed in. It's been reported that, you know, within, I believe, less than 2 hours after Sheriff Christensen announced that Arriaga was in the country illegally, this is before he was even named, President Trump tweeted about the manhunt saying, he said, there is right now a full-scale manhunt going on in California for an illegal immigrant accused of shooting and killing a police officer during a traffic stop. Time to get tough on border security. Build the wall.
Wow. And what about other leaders, you know, those in the state of California or others locally? It sounds like, you know, for the Stanislaus County Sheriff and the Tulare County Sheriff, both sort of have these stances on the sanctuary state law. But are any of the more progressive leaders saying anything about it?
Well, here in California, it has definitely come up in conversation. You know, media will ask questions of other sheriffs in the Central Valley. First of all, outgoing Governor Jerry Brown, in an interview recently, he very, you know, directly said this has nothing to do with SB 54. It wouldn't have impacted the outcome at all, which isn't surprising. Very recently here in Fresno County, Fresno Sheriff Margaret Mims actually agreed with Brown and said that, you know, she thinks it's not fair in this case technically to blame SB 54 since it wasn't enacted at the time. But she does believe that it is possible that something like this could happen again with the current laws. And it's interesting timing because, you know, we have the government shutdown going on. The president's talking a lot about funding for a border wall. Tonight, he's planning to address the nation from the Oval Office, where he'll be talking about border security. He's also visiting the border on Thursday. It'll be interesting to see if this case comes up or the issue in general comes up in his remarks.
Yeah, and Valley Public Radio will be airing that address tonight with NPR analysis. We've been speaking with Alex Hall. She's the Central Valley reporter for KQED. You can hear her and her reporting more on the California Report, which we run every morning during Morning Edition. Alex, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.